I want to make one more observation before we dive in feet first here, and that is that Moab is a nation that lived near God's people. And when we read the Old Testament, it is important for us many times to make an application. Whenever the Israelites went in and took the land and they didn't wipe out everybody that they were supposed to, the Bible says that those nations they didn't wipe out would become thorns in their eyes and prickles and stings to them for the rest of their experience. And the same thing is true as a believer. If we come to Christ and we do not get our house in order, what little open doors we leave in our lives to the world can become oppressions in our lives. People have depression in Christ through the years because they didn't really knock out, you know, that little city called Ai, or they didn't really take off and deal with conquering a land while God was there to give them the victory. They just said, no, I think I'm going to have my little sin here. Okay? And so when we look at it and we see that Israel represents a large picture as a nation that is almost, well, is altogether written for our examples and our learning, it's like your life. There are people who live around you and me as believers, and they are responsible for how they mock or how they accept or how they help or how they bless us, one way or the other. If we're clearly having a testimony for Christ. Now, there are a lot of people who aren't. Nobody got judged because they were bad to Lot, okay? Because Lot had no testimony, and there are a lot of people who have no testimony at all. But if a person has a testimony, the people around them are responsible for how they treat them. Things like the hiding place and Corrie Ten Boom and those kind of things where you have Christian people helping the Jewish people. God honors that. God blesses people who hazard themselves by faith. And that's what our nation needs to do. We need to honor Israel by faith as a nation because we know they're God's people. Well, as I said, this was a nation that had had a past for many moons, but they had been denounced by Balaam. God's word, when he gave a prophecy through Balaam, sometimes came right back on them and said, you guys are going to have to, you know, serve them. And they would get cursed by that. Isaiah also denounced them. And Amos and Ezekiel all addresses Moab in their prophecies because they have a responsibility simply because they live nearby. Simply because they live next door. Now, let's suppose you live next door to somebody. They know you're a believer. But one day you're outside and you're talking a little sharp to your wife. And they heard you do it. That happens. We're human. Things are done. You know, we stumble. The righteous falls seven times, but rises again. But the wicked fall into mischief. Well, what I'm trying to say is that just because you stumbled one day doesn't give the guy next door a reason to not believe. This is not his reason. These guys stumbled. Israel stumbled and Moab laughed. And they thought, that's my reason not to believe. But that wasn't enough. God says, I'm holding you responsible. You've seen some things in their life that were good too. You've seen me manifest my power and the Assyrian assault. You've seen me bless these people in the Egyptian deliverance. All of their history was front and center in their minds. Verse 1 says, against Moab, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Woe to Nebo. Nebo is a city, but it's also the name of one of their primary gods. Nebo, for it is spoiled. That city is spoiled. Kiriathaim is confounded or confused and put into confusion and taken. Misgab is confounded and dismayed. There shall be no more praise of Moab. In other words, he's saying the cities are going to fall. Now, the thing about not having any problems or anybody coming after you is that you sometimes think, I've got it made, I'm good. That's America, isn't it? I mean, that's America. We think nobody could get us. We're like the Titanic, as we made the analogy clear. It's, God himself could not sink the Titanic, people were saying. Well, and sure did fall. And America thinks it can't fall. We think we got this. That there can't be people coming in the doors with guns and saying that pastor's got to go because he's been violating free speech issues. There are countries today where people are cutting heads off of little 14-year-old girls. You know, the other day I Googled the word Christian. I was looking for some Christian symbols. I was trying to put something on a phone that made some nice little wallpaper on my phone. Just a little something I was doing for fun one night. I Googled Christian pictures, and there were pictures of two little girls, 14-year-old girls, with their heads cut off. that came up. Came from Indonesia. These girls were going to a Christian school one day. There were three of them present. Two of them. And I had heard this story years ago. This has been about 4 years ago. But this picture still came up. And the girl's head was laying beside the body. Why? Because they were Christian and because the Muslim people who occupied the land said these people have no reason to live. Were those girls threats? No, they were going to their little Christian school at 14 years old. And they cut their heads off and one of them escaped and told the story. They just killed them because they didn't have anything else to do. Chopped their heads off. Now what I'm saying is that when we think we're sitting at ease, there are people out there with swords. You know, they call Marines leathernecks for a reason. It's because they're saying we're not scared of the fact that those people do that kind of heinous crime. We're going to go in there and we'll back up on them. What we see in this passage is that this nation thought there was nobody who could touch them. They had watched them drive by time and time again and nothing ever came near. So their hearts were fully set in them to do evil. Verse 3, a voice of crying shall be from Horonaim, spoiling and great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. That means the babies are crying in the streets. Every kind of panic, every kind of trauma you can think of is going to take place. And it did take place. This is history now, but at the time it was prophecy. Verse 5 says, for in the going up of Luhith, that's a city again, continually, weeping shall go up. For in the going down, in the enemies, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives. This is the cry they heard in the cities. Flee, save your lives, and be like heath in the wilderness. The word heath is a word that literally means it speaks of a tree that has no bark, a nakedness. It said, don't take anything, just run is the idea. Okay, he's saying, listen, this is going to be bad. And you know, you don't know what bad is. So, I'm just saying, run! And that's what he's telling them to do, because it's going to be bad. It's a time of judgment. And the Bible says the reason they need to do it is in verse 7, and you might circle that. This is the reason. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and thy treasures, thou shalt also be taken. And Shemesh shall go forth into captivity with the priests and his princes thereof, and the spoiler shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord hath spoken. Because, in verse 7, you trusted in your works and in your treasures. You know, I think that's America. When I look at the people in America, I think people in America think they've got it going on. They think they deserve to have every good thing, even the commercials. You deserve a break. Go ahead and spend a little more on your shampoo because you deserve it, you know. It's just all about you deserving everything. Well, actually, if we got what we deserve, what'd we get? We'd get hell, wouldn't we? If we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell. Because we're rascals. We've got this heart that's bent. We're always turning the left and to the right. Our hearts are prone to wander. Our eyes are never satisfied. We're continually saying things that are just, God forgive us. We are broken and we deserve judgment, and yet God in His mercy is so gracious. And in America, we have got so much wickedness going on, and when the hammer falls, it's going to have to fall hard. And these guys, one of their big sins, one of the sins that are mentioned in this, is that they trusted in their works and in their treasures. I read today, I think it was, that the Congress has made like 25% increases on their investments over the past 3 years. That all of their wealth in Congress across the board has increased by about 25% when the rest of the nation has gone down. Actually, it wasn't 20. It was 25%. Everything else went down. Theirs went up like about 15% or something. They made a bunch of money. That's what was the point of it. And many times what we think is we think we're rich, and yet we found in the past couple of years that rich can go quick. And the way the world is printing money, it can go very, very quickly. That first section is all about those cities falling. That first section is all about the Lord saying, this is what the Lord had spoken at the end of verse 8. He says, thus has the Lord spoken. The cities are going to fall. Destruction is called for. Run for your lives. Verse 9. Give wings unto Moab, that it may flee and get away. Now this is sort of a rhetorical or a derogatory or a mockery, because there are no wings going to be given to Moab. He says the only way these guys would get away is if they were given wings. Then maybe they could fly away. They're not flying. They can't fly. And no wings will be given. He says, and then they could get away, for the cities thereof, in verse 9, shall be desolate without any to dwell therein. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Do you see what that's saying? It's saying that God's calling Babylon to be his battle axe, and he says anybody who doesn't go in there and smite and kill and slay and destroy, because this nation has been culpable for having gone in and plundered Israel and mocked and laughed and chided and thought that Israel deserved every bit of their trauma, even though they were God's people. They laughed. They rejoiced when the righteous fell. He said, you are now my battle axe. The time of reckoning has come. Your judgment has come. And Israel's my battle axe. And cursed be everyone who doesn't go in there and slay. Did you know God is a God of war? Jesus is a man of war. He came as a simple shepherd. He came humble. He was born in a manger. He lived a life that was very approachable for all. But the next time he's coming on a white horse. He's going to have a sword. And he's going to wipe out the battle of Armageddon in a word. It's done. Blood to the bridles. He's ever been so. Joshua standing at the cusp of the battle with Jericho, not knowing what to do, and out there just kind of thinking his thoughts. All of a sudden, a man appears. He's girded with a sword. Then he takes his sword, and he says, are you for us or for our adversaries? He says, I'm neither one. I'm the captain of the Lord's host, and I'm here to take charge. And he told him how to set the battle around Jericho. He was a man of war, and he is. He was the death angel who came through and slew all the firstborn in Egypt. He whipped up on Egypt, wiping out all of the firstborn children because Israel or Egypt would not let his people go after 9 plagues. He said, no, no, no. Pharaoh said no. Finally, God says, well, since you said no. And you know, when judgment comes, it's always because God's word has been resisted and God's movements have been denied and despised, and all of that is what brings judgment. When people get cast into hell, it's not because they were just not sure. No, God makes sure they're sure. Romans 1 says there, without excuse, that the things that can be made known and manifested about God, they knew it and they pressed it down and suppressed it. He says in verse 9 and 10, he says 10, verse 10, where he says, cursed be everyone that doesn't do the Lord's work straight up. Verse 11 says, Moab hath been at ease. Underline those words. This is another one of their sins. The first one was they trusted in their works and they trusted in their treasure. Here it says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He hath settled on his lees. We talk about people resting on their laurels. You know, we like to go back and, oh yeah, 10, 15, 20 years ago I won a soul to Jesus. Really? That's resting on our lees. No, we need to think, what does God want me to do today? Because God is God. He's Yahweh, Jehovah. He's here now. Really, he truly is. And he's got something going on all the time. He's not looking for us to look in the rearview mirror and say, look what I did. He's saying, what are you doing? That's what he's saying. These guys settled on their lees in verse 11, and hath not been empty from vessel to vessel, neither have gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remains in him, and his scent is not changed. The picture is that of a plant that has never been changed from one pot to the next. It's a plant that, in fact, is basically still smells pretty, still looks pretty. It's been well taken care of. In other words, they've been passed every time Assyria came in or Egypt came by or all these battles. They've never been moved. They've always been there. And he says they've gotten pretty at ease. It's pretty much like you might imagine. Back in the day of maybe the World War II, and the tanks are coming through, and people would pull out a lawn chair and go out and watch as they went by, you know, or something. These guys would watch as the nations were fighting all around them. America stayed out of the World War II for as long as we could till we were bombed at Pearl Harbor, and we were just kind of pulling up our lawn chairs and looking, saying, that's not us. But eventually we got pulled into it. These guys never got pulled into it. And because they never got any kind of problem, they got kind of comfortable with being who they were. They had their own personality and their own identity. Verse 12, therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will send unto them wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty the vessels, empty his vessels and break their bottles. In other words, they're going to come in and push over the china cabinets. They're going to destroy everything. These guys are going to have the crosshairs placed on them. And every human being that you know, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, that they don't know Jesus, the crosshairs are coming to them one day. That's why it's important for us to get our mind around who God is. God is not a God who will be mocked, and people who act like he doesn't exist or doesn't matter. There's coming a day when the crosshairs are going to people we care about. If we don't tell them, who will?